Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. We are going through the seven churches at Revelation. And we are in chapter 3, verse number 8. We're looking at the living and loyal church, the church at Philadelphia. We have been working our way through this beautiful letter that the Lord has given to John to give to the pastors of the church, that they would read this and the church would be doers of the word. We were looking at the difference between the church at Sardis and the church at Philadelphia. The church at Sardis had no praise whatsoever. They were living on a reputation, but as I said before, they were a church with a reputation that was in need of revival. And now we come to the church at Philadelphia that is a living and loyal church. Everything that it did, all of its ministries were with Christ. He was first and foremost in everything that they did. And in verse number 8, Jesus says something amazing here. He says, "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and kept my word and have not denied my name." This is a beautiful painting of what the church that loves the Lord Jesus Christ should be. This is what he is saying to this beautiful church here. This church that is living for Christ and is loyal to Him and Him alone. He says, "I have set before you an open door." An open door for what? Brian was sharing this morning in his prayer time that we go out and we see you're entering the mission field. That's when we leave, that door is open. But what does the mission field look like? I mean, really, what is the church's mission? And I think over time, we have tried to, in our own ways, put our own spin on it. But it's very, very simple. The church's mission is Jesus' mission. There's no difference. Because the vision that Jesus has for His church is the vision that the church should have. There's no difference. Jesus' vision, the church's vision. Jesus' mission, the church's mission. And Jesus laid out what that was. Go into all the world and preach me, the gospel. Mark says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Paul said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the power of God unto salvation. So it is the gospel that changes lives because it is Jesus who changes lives. And so the open door, the mission is this. It is evangelism. He has set before the church the open door, the mission of evangelism. And if anything, whether it be what we do in this facility or outside of this facility, whatever we do, it is to tell people, to proclaim to them the good news of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that as you look through different areas of Scripture, we see different Greek words being used for actually preaching. But I love the basic Greek word for going out to preach. When Jesus said, go into all the world, right, and preach the gospel. What that word means is this: whoever you meet, have a conversation with them. It's just an ordinary conversation. And as God leads you to those people in an ordinary dialogue, a conversation, then you begin to tell them about Jesus Christ. This past week, I had a young man come up to me, and up north they had some cheerleaders use the facility here and there, and so I had to take a ride up. A person who couldn't be there, so I took a ride up to see them. And this young man came up to me. He was a dad, and we were just having a conversation. And I just told him my name was Frank. I didn't say anything else. And he said, are you the pastor here? I said, I am. And then we just had another conversation. He says, you know what? He goes, I think that we might get to know one another. He says, so I need to tell you some things. I said, okay. And began to unpack his life. He said, you know, I got to be flat out honest with you. He says, I'm an addict. He says, I haven't used in the last 2 years. But he says, but I'm an addict. He said, I was part of Teen Challenge. And he says, I just believe her. But he says, as I got involved in this stuff, and he starts talking about his whole family and just riddled with dysfunction. I said, well, you're not the only one, right? I said, every family has dysfunction within it. And we just began to have that conversation. But I sensed that even though he said he was a believer, that he needed to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. So that conversation led right to Christ. And that's who we shared. And we prayed. And so there you have this. This proclaiming Jesus Christ. He will bring people to you. And people will ask you, are you a Christian? You say, yeah, well, I am too. Okay, now let's have a conversation about Jesus. He lays the ground level right there. You don't have to worry about anything. He opens the door to evangelism. We can pray for opportunities, and we ought to, but I'll tell you what, every encounter we have with an individual is an opportunity. He has given us an open door. And this is what the church at Philadelphia saw, that open door. Their mission was to reach people for Christ, period. That was it. It was a place that was located strategically. It was a border town, as I mentioned before, and it had these three towns, Lydia, Mysia, and Phrygia there. Can you imagine being surrounded by three other towns? Oh, wait, you don't have to. We've got a city just that way there. You've got another town and another town and other towns, right? God has taken Greenfield Center Baptist Church. He has put us right here in this hub to be strategically located to reach people for Christ. The question is, how far will we go for reaching people for Jesus Christ? It had an interesting road. The road was leading to Rome, and one of them passed from the coast, and it stretched right out to the east into Asia Minor. Can you imagine the multitudes of people that were passing by that roadway, leading to other places? Oh, wait. We don't have to. I mean, it's track time, folks. Right? There they go. And it's not just the horses. It's the people. I mean, God brings thousands of people to our area every year. And we're praying for opportunities. The opportunity is there. He has set before a living and loyal church to Him a door to evangelism. And we are no different. Everybody that passed through that community back then are the very same people that pass through our community every single day. Business people and sales people. You've got military folks that aren't too far from here. Vacationers and tourists, visiting relatives, all kinds of people from all walks of life passing through. And there is the sign. You're about to enter the mission field. That is absolutely true. There used to be a slogan here. Remember, I don't know it's still around. Enter to worship, depart to serve. And that serving is to be about the mission of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine being placed in a location that you can actually penetrate the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ by spreading out, by spreading out? Oh, wait. We don't have to imagine. We don't have to. And Christ comes to the church at Philadelphia, and He praises this church. He's thanking the church for their missionary work, for reaching out. He says, I know your works. I have set an open door before you, and you stepped out. You walked through that door, and you took advantage of every opportunity that I gave you. You did not let any one of those go away. They faithfully reached the lost. And Jesus said to any church that does that, nobody can shut that door. I will keep that door open, and no one will be able to shut it. The question is, are we that living and loyal to Jesus Christ that we would walk out through the open door that He has opened and do such a work to the glory of God to exalt Christ that He says, I'm not shutting that one. That door is wide open. And there will be those who will try to shut it. But He says, I promise you, the door that I open, no man can shut. But He also gives a warning, too. The door that I shut, no man can open. It's impossible for that to happen. Now notice something here. The church was not probably a very big church. In other words, it probably didn't have a lot of resources. Remember what was going on, what had happened in the church of Philadelphia. Remember, we're talking about their history, and they would understand what Jesus was saying to them, how I'll give you a new name. Talked about that a little bit. Remember that the earthquake came and devastated seven cities around Philadelphia, but Philadelphia was not without destruction. Totally destroyed Sardis, gone. Totally destroyed all of the others. But Philadelphia, it shook Philadelphia. But they gave them a new name because Tiberius came in and gave them the money, and so they called it New Caesarea, right? The new city of Caesar. And so the church, the whole area is like got buildings down and some things, and there's tremors going on. They probably don't have a lot of money like other churches. They were under persecution. There was not great wealth in society. But Jesus is commending them. He says, you may not have a lot of resources, but I'll tell you what, you are a strong church. You may not have a lot of people, and the people that you have, well, I'm not going to go there today. I was going to say we're all Q-tips, right? But I'm looking around and there's not many Q-tips here. No, never mind. I don't want to get into Miss Clairol. But anyway, just kidding. So he is saying you don't have much. You don't have much in the strength of your people. You don't have much in the strength of your budget. And yet you are bearing witness like I've never seen before. You are a strong church. Imagine making such a drive for the gospel of Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, begins to praise you. That He, who deserves all praise, who's no respecter of persons, He's actually impressed with this church. He takes time to reach out and to praise you. He guarantees, he says, that this open door for evangelism and discipleship will always remain open for you. This is the very first mission of the church. It was given to the church all the way back at Pentecost. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Lo, I am with you unto the end of the age, to go out and make disciples of all people groups, to baptize them in the name of the triune God, to teach them whatsoever things I have commanded you, because you have gone out and you have preached the gospel to every creature. This is the first mission of the church, and it has not changed. Why has it not changed? because he who is unchangeable has given us his unchanging mission. This is doing what Christ wants us to do. He reached out to the lost. This is why it's his mission. Notice something. This is what Jesus said about his own mission. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is what? Lost. This is what he's calling the church to do in his name. To go out to the lost. And he will save them. This is what he said about the mission of his followers in church. In John 20:21, he says, Then Jesus said to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I what? Send you. He is a sending God. We don't have to question it. We are strategically located. Some churches may be right in the heart of a big city, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be in the heart of a big city. Isn't this something sometimes? Look at rural churches. I mean, really rural churches. Do you know any of them? I know a few of them. It's pretty amazing. Some of the most rural churches are packed out. People will drive from the cities to go to the rural church that is living and loyal to Jesus Christ. You can have churches, and that was the big church planting movement for a while. This was the church growth stuff. You've got to find a location where there's a lot of people and a lot of affluence, right? So you can get the people that have some, to have some bucks that can help you out there. And guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing. Because you got a little country church somewhere, and all of a sudden, why are the people going there? They don't have anything. They're older. They don't have big budgets. What's happening there? They don't have all of the stuff going on. What's going on? What did they have that the church in the city didn't have? They had Jesus. They had Jesus. They didn't have their own schemes. They didn't have their own marketing strategies. They had the Word of God, and they had faith in Christ. In Christ alone. Why then are so many churches not reaching out? Not reaching out. Why are so few people being won to Christ? Why, as we even in some of our prayers this morning are asking the question, what's happening here? And I think Steph Sepp summed it up beautiful. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray. But the first thing in that scripture verse is humility, and repentance requires humility. People will not repent without humility, but the church is being called to repentance. Thank you for praying that way, Steph, this morning. The church is called to repentance. And when the church repents, revival will break out in that church. And when revival breaks out in that church becomes a living and loyal church to Jesus Christ. And God will open a door. And you will see lives changed to His glory. This church went house to house. They were fellow laborers together. They went to wherever they saw opportunities because they were looking for opportunities to share Jesus Christ. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts 4:20. Paul even says, For a great door and effectual is open unto me. And there are many adversaries. You see, when God opens the door, there are many adversaries there. I always think about the promised land when Joshua was going over. He says, every piece of land that your foot is going to walk upon, Joshua, I have given that into your hand. Yeah, but you didn't tell me about the big guys over there. Don't worry about a thing. Those are the adversaries. But be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. How many times? But then God has a warning for Joshua. He says, do not be dismayed before your enemies, or I will dismay you before them. Wow. You go in strength and in courage. Don't you worry about a thing. I can almost sing that song, a little Stevie Wonder, but I won't. Just move out. Move out. God says, I will clear the path. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful. It's living. And it's active. Therefore, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It cuts through bones and marrow. It is the discerner of the thoughts and minds. Go with that Word of God. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love those people. And we will come unto them and make our residence with them. And then he says, these that were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. The Bereans were searching the Scriptures. But this church, no matter what, they never denied the name of Christ. Never. That's what Jesus is saying to them. I set before you an open door. You went through it. You had little strength and it didn't matter. You went in my strength. And he says, no matter what, you never denied my name. It's more than just quote-unquote witnessing for Christ. That's what it means. But it means this, that the living and loyal church for Jesus Christ agrees with Christ, confesses who He is in everything that we do. In the services in the morning, it's Christ. And Tuesday night prayer, it's Christ. And Friday morning study, it's Christ. In our homes, it's Christ. In our work, it's Christ. And getting our coffees at Stewart's or wherever we go, it's Christ. They never denied Christ. They were a constant witness for Him because He was at all times the center of their lives. Because to confess Christ means that we live for Jesus. It means that the church has to come to an understanding. It's not about our programs. It's not about how we construct our services. It's not about our activities. It's about Christ and Christ alone in all that we do. It means that we stand fast to the opposition and persecution. Church, if you think right now that it is going to be easy for the church to go out and be witnesses for Him, it is not. I think we're living in a Samaria time. You see, Jerusalem it's not always easy, right? That's family, that's neighbors. Judea, maybe the workplace you're going out a little bit. But Samaria, those people hate God. And right now our nation has become like Samaria. It's not just God. You see, this is the difference. You can talk to people about God. They'll have no problem talking to you about God. But you mention the name of Jesus? Wow. Watch out. Watch out. For those of you who do any kind of gardening, I'm gonna wrap up here in just a second. You ever, we put some of these out. You know those Japanese beetle bags? Right? It's hysterical. I watched Patty. She almost got swarmed. You don't see them at all. You might see a few of them around, something like that. But they're all in the ground. You break open that beetle bag, and everything that was hidden from below rises up to come at you. You're holding the bag. I'll tell you what. You take this word of God, and you mention the name of Jesus, and every creature under the earth will rise up and scream out against you. And every creature that is his, that is Satan's, that walks the earth, will scream and screech against you. But this church, no matter what the opposition, no matter what the persecution, they held fast to his word. They held fast to his word. And Jesus says, the church that is living and loyal will never deny my name at any time, in any way, in any place. Whosoever shall confess me, Jesus says, before men, he I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Note that this living and loyal church does these things. Its mission is Christ. It is evangelism. Its mission is to hold on to and never give up proclaiming the word of Christ. Its mission in its evangelism is confessing Christ in all that it does, in everything that is that it does, and there is the great hope that is given to the church. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. He says, behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. I want to stop there today. But the question I have in that scripture is this. Do you have any doubt that Jesus loves you? Or do we just say that I know Jesus loves me, and really not examined ourselves to see if we are like this living and loyal church? Not much strength, but has gone through that open door regardless and has unashamedly proclaimed the gospel, Jesus Christ, to every creature that God gives to us. Do you know that Jesus loves you? If you're uncertain, I would just have you look to the cross. Look to the cross, for therein is the love of God poured out for us. Therein is the wrath of God placed upon His Son for us. There is the grace of the mercy of Jesus Christ. There is justice being borne out. If you're ever uncertain about whether God loves you, go to the cross. Just go to the cross. Go boldly to the throne of grace where mercy is found every day. A living and loyal church. Next week, we're going to look at some things about what the Scripture has to say about what Jesus is talking about. There are grave implications there of this synagogue of Satan. Well, Father, we thank You for Your Word today that shows us that You have given to every church an open door, the open door for evangelism. And then, Lord, when You send us out and You save those through the power of Your Word, for faith comes from hearing and hearing from Your Word. We thank You too, Lord, that part of that open door is discipleship. We thank You for the nets, Lord. We thank You for one that we are to cast. We thank You, Lord, that after the fish come in, that we are to mend the net, that none of the fish slips through discipleship. Lord, may we truly May we truly, Lord, use every opportunity of every day that you've given to us to be a witness for Christ, to confess him in everyday, ordinary conversations. But how I pray, we'll never, never leave you out and always lead them to the cross where salvation is found in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins through the shedding of his blood. I pray that we take them, Lord, and show them that the tomb is empty, that you have overcome the grave, and that for all who will come to Christ have new life in Christ and eternal life because you have overcome sin and overcome the grave. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand and sing.